Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. I'm going to turn your attention to the book of Genesis chapter number 21. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter number 25. And we'll begin reading at verse number 21. Genesis chapter number 25. And we'll read a few verses of scripture starting in verse number 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. God spoke to my heart several days ago. I want to preach to you from this thought, the struggle from within. The struggle from within. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. There are few battles we consider that are more complex than those that war from within. Job, who the Word describes as perfect and upright, faced a season in life that is, in my opinion, almost unmatched. We are introduced to him by an unknown author of a book that bears his name. He has a wife he no doubt loves. They together have 10 children, 7 sons, and 3 daughters. The Bible says his substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and as the Word describes him, a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men in the East. His life was occupied by the daily decisions of maintaining a farm of this magnitude and making certain his hand-picked overseers were on task with the everyday chores. But more importantly, Job was a seeker of our Savior, as he was one that feared God and turned aside from evil. I can't help but admire the harmony that did reside within his home and family. The insight given to us reveals a very happy family who often came together for birthday celebrations that would last 7 days. Brothers and sisters enjoyed one another's company. Verse 13 of chapter 1 of the book of Job offers us these chilling words. And there was a day. This day would change Job's life forever. It was a day that started with his kids having one of their many banquets in the elder brother's home, and all the kids were present. Job is tending to the family farm when he is met by the first of 4 messengers who all bring devastating news. In verses 14 through 19, the Word of God gives us insight as to what these messengers said. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sebans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And finally, the fourth messenger, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind or a tornado from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, including the daughters, their sisters, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. What a devastating day for Job and his wife. Lost his living, all of his substance, and to make matters worse, he lost his kids in one day when one servant after another came to bear the terrible news. Later, Job's body was stricken with boils, and three of his closest companions accuse him of having hidden sin in his life, or else these things would not have befallen him. His wife, who was walking with him through this trial, tries to convince her husband to curse God and die. Job was just as human as you and I, with all the same emotions that we have. And we see this displayed in chapter 23, verses 8 and 9. Behold, Job says, I go forward, but I can't find you. I go backward, and I cannot perceive you. On the left hand where you work, but I cannot behold him. And he confesses he hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. In these first two verses, it is displayed to us the human emotions that Job struggled with. And Job struggled with from within, between what he felt and the knowledge that he had. The question is, would Job give in to his emotions, or will he stand on what he knows? And in verse number 10, we see that he makes the decision that I will stand in spite of what my emotions are telling me. I'm going to stand on what I know, because it appears as if God has forsaken me and turned his back on me, and I cannot find him. But in verse number 10, he says, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Life's reality is we all sometimes face struggles from within. Emotions that we have, feelings that are real but are not often true. They will lie to us and tell us one thing. When we will stop in our tracks, amen, we can stand on the knowledge of the truth of what God's Word says. And time after time, God has always proven himself faithful to his children. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Life's struggles are real, and the struggles we face from within are also very real. The Word of God speaks to us about a young lady by the name of Rebecca. Rebecca faced the physical struggle of this spiritual application that we are making this morning about the struggle from within. The Bible lets us know that after years of barrenness, she was finally able to conceive and give her husband a child. Her womb was occupied by two lives instead of the normal one. The Bible also lets us know that there was much struggle taking place within her body, and even to the extent that it caused her to inquire of the Lord why this struggle within was happening. It was there in that time of seeking God that the Lord reveals to her that there are two nations struggling within. One is struggling against the other. The Lord tells her that the older will serve the younger, and one nation will be stronger than the other. This bitter rival between Jacob and Esau, amen, and between these two nations continues even to this day. But there's a different struggle many are faced with today. And again, what Rebecca was feeling physically only identifies with what I feel some in this house today are struggling with internally. She felt the pains of the struggle within her physical body. But I've got a feeling that there's people that have gathered at the Central Church this morning, 293 County Road 218, that have a not so much of a physical struggle, but there is a spiritual struggle that is happening from within. It's the struggle to serve the Lord or to continue walking in the ways of your personal desires. I got a feeling that there's some good-hearted individuals whom Jesus Christ loves so much that walked in the doors of this congregation this morning, having been very familiar with the struggle that's happening from inside, that you are very familiar with. You have fought it this morning. You fought it last night as you lay your head on your bed, on your pillow, to go to sleep restless last night because of this struggle. You know that is real, that is happening from within inside of you. Maybe you've not identified yet exactly what the struggle is, but I've come to reveal to some of you today that that struggle that is happening is the struggle to submit and live for God with all of your heart, or to continue living a life of worldly pleasures. King Agrippa confessed to Paul. Amen. When Paul questioned him, Paul, Agrippa, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? And the king confessed, I know exactly what you're talking about. I can identify with what you're talking about. But Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, that somebody's mind and heart would change in this service this morning. That you would be more than almost persuaded, but you would give in and let the struggle subside this morning and say, I refuse to struggle against the Spirit of God any longer. I'm going to submit myself to God. I want to serve Him. I no longer want to be a servant to sin. I no longer want to be a slave, amen, to my flesh. I want to know Him in relationship and in fellowship. Hallelujah. Friend, can I offer you some advice today? And that would be, do yourself a favor and stop fighting the nail-scarred hands that are so lovingly reaching for you this morning. Amen. The Lord told Saul as he was on the road to Damascus, He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Saul, you can keep living this way if you want to, but I want you to know it's not going to be an easy road. It's going to be a life of struggle. You fighting against the conviction of God is only going to frustrate you and wear you down. Friend of mine today, why don't you give in and say, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. And I understand we're living in a day and hour where everybody is telling you everybody's going to be saved, and it doesn't matter how you live, you're going to be right with God. But brother, I'm telling you, anybody would tell you that is preaching a lie, and it is not true. Hallelujah. There is a plan of salvation, and there is a loving God that wants to bring you out of the depths of sin and set you on a right road and set you on a street called straight. Hallelujah. Stop fighting against the conviction of the Lord. Stop resisting the one who died so that you can live. I'm reminded of an old Indian proverb that I heard many years ago, that there was a young warrior of this particular tribe who came to the chief and said, "I had a disturbing dream last night. There was a black wolf and a white wolf, and they were both wanting my soul." And he asked the old chief, he said, "Which one is going to win for the battle of my soul?" That old wise chief looked at this young warrior and said, "The one that you feed the most is going to be the one that wins the battle for your soul. You can keep feeding the flesh, but it's going to cause you to die lost and go to a devil's hell that was not prepared for you. Or either you can feed that which is good and right and holy and righteous and hear him say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" There's a struggle taking place within today in the hearts of people in this house. The Bible said in John chapter number 10, verses 10 and 11, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy." That's what the adversary of your soul is longing to do. But Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." Oh, let me tell you today, I remember the days, amen, before I made up in my mind I was going to serve God. Amen. Struggling against what I knew conviction was pulling on my heart. Struggling against fighting or living for God. Wanting the flesh to win and wanting the spiritual man to win as well. Amen. But I'll never forget that day. I ran to an old-fashioned altar at that old Mississippi camp. Fell on my face before God and said, "Lord, I want you to save me." And thank God, on that day I gave myself into the hands of the Almighty God. I've not been perfect since then. I've been a long way from it. But oh, I thank God that when the struggle from within was taking place, I made up in my mind, I want to serve God. I want to. And friend, let me tell you, you can serve God today. I don't care how long you've been there, how dark the night is, how far steeped in sin you're in. God loves you, can save you, will redeem you, will set you free, will deliver you, loves you right now in the state that you're in. I'm telling you, there's a struggle happening in this house today with some folks, and you need to make up in your mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. Some struggles happening from within the hearts of people in this service today. You can live for God. You can be saved. You can be. You can be. Hallelujah. You can be saved. Hell says you can't, but the cross says you can. Condemnation says you'll never be free, but the blood says I've made you free if you'll just accept it. If you'll let the blood flow in your life right now. There's nothing your life is entangled with that God cannot come down and set you free from it right now. Oh, the wrestling match that's happening from within today. Hallelujah. And surely there is a wrestling match happening within people today. But also let me make a few remarks about another struggle the Lord has spoken to me about this week. And it's the struggle between, do I just want to keep going through the motions, or do I want to reach for higher heights and higher places in Jesus? It's no coincidence that some of the words, Brother Nathan, you spoke today during the offering and the last song that was sung this morning, it's no coincidence that it just didn't happen. I didn't go to Brother Nathan and tell him what I was going to preach and confess, you know, or talk about some of the struggles that you've had. And I didn't tell the praise team what I was preaching and for them to sing a song about going deeper and hearing the call of God. It was not orchestrated by man. I want you to understand, you are in a service today that was orchestrated by the Holy One. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so it would do you well to pause and to realize God has me here this morning in this service for a reason, because God is trying to speak into my spirit, and I want to hear what thus saith the word of God. I've prayed this weekend, even this morning, God, don't let me speak the words of a mere man, but let me speak as the oracle of the Holy Ghost. I want God to minister through me. I want God to speak through me, in that I feel he is. Amen. But who's going to hear what thus saith the word of God? Who's going to yield themselves and say, I know God is talking to me. I'm not worried about those across the building. I'm not worried about those in front or behind me or beside me. I know God's talking to me right now. Hallelujah. And there's a struggle happening from within today of people God's been talking to about, are you just going to stay satisfied with going through the motions and going through the mundane and just going through the everyday? Or are you going to reach for higher places in Jesus? Elisha had to make the decision when Elijah passed by and draped his mantle on his shoulder. Am I going to keep working on the farm? Or am I going to follow what I know the Spirit of God is calling me to do? Because when Elijah came by Elisha and draped his mantle upon Elisha, Elisha instantly stopped. Something arrested his mind and attention. Hallelujah. And he told the man of God, I'm going to follow you. And the Bible said that Elisha went back and destroyed his oxen. In other words, he was burning some bridges and said, I'm not going back to this. My only choice now, I'm going to sell out to a relationship with God like I never have. Doesn't mean that Elisha was a bad person. Word of God doesn't let us give us any inclination that Elisha was living a life of sin. He was just going through the mundane, if I can say it like this, in present day terminology. He was waking up on Sundays and going to Sunday school and going to church and showing up for Wednesday night Bible study. He was there for prayer meetings. He would give, amen, of his tithe and offering back to the Lord. Amen. He was responsible probably in all of these areas. But Elisha finally had to come to the realization and the grips, I've called you for more than what you're doing right now. I've called you to reach higher for things in the Lord. And when he stopped by and draped that mantle upon the shoulders of that boy who was plowing in that field, Elisha made up in his mind. You know what I believe? I believe that I don't think it happened by coincidence or by chance. I don't think that it really surprised him when he stopped and really considered it. He probably stopped after a few days and thought, you know, no wonder I was feeling what I was feeling. No wonder I felt like my whole life was in turmoil, because there was a war and a struggle that was happening and taking place from within. I think when he stopped and realized, you know, this was God all the time trying to get my attention to go deeper in relationship with him. I'd like the musicians to come at this time. A question you've got to ask yourself is, are you going to stay where you are, or are you willing to make the investments to go deeper and reach higher? Are you? Now, this is not a general question. This is a question you must pose to yourself, and I cannot answer it for you. Your parents cannot answer it for you. Your kids cannot answer for the parents. You can't answer for your spouse. Your friend can't answer for you. You've got to ask yourself the question, am I content with just staying where I am, or am I willing to make the investments to go deeper and reach higher in God? Some of you are going to identify. Some of you have identified this whole service long. Some of you came to church with this struggle taking place inside of your life. And God has today come to bring you understanding and illumination of what this struggle is. It's not just your job. It's not just you know, things just seem to be going crazy or haywire. It is God trying to get your attention. If you're not living for God, you need to make up in your mind today, I want to know Him. But if you're simply going through the motions of just going through the motions, why don't you stop today? Why don't you stop today and say, you know what? I do want to go deeper in Him, and I do want to reach for higher things in Him. In my reading this week, I came to some very interesting things about Jacob that I'd never seen before. And I got to be honest with you, and it pains me to confess this, but I think I have preached things for years about Jacob that weren't true. I'm here to confess that today. The Bible, in regard to Jacob, and Jacob and Esau were the ones that were struggling in the womb of Rebekah. Jacob was the younger who would rule over his brother Esau. Esau would serve his brother. And again, there's been contention and fussing and fighting among them ever since. But here's how the Word of God describes Jacob when he was born. The Bible says he was a plain man. I've always thought, because, you know, the Bible says he's a plain man, and that there came time that, you know, when Esau came in from the field, and this is when they had gotten older, Jacob was a man that wasn't a man of the field. He was inside the house cooking soup or whatever, and I've always just kind of thought maybe Jacob was a little sissified. That couldn't be any further from the truth. Number one, Jacob was a shepherd. But let me tell you what the word plain means when the Bible describes Jacob as being a plain man. That word plain means blameless, perfect, gentle. He was a blameless individual. It's a perfect individual. Gentle. Now, we do know that there were years in his life that he became very deceitful. And if you'll allow me, as I did last night, could it be? And those of you that were in the leadership class last night will understand what I'm talking about, but could it be that Jacob lived up to his defined name until his mother got involved in his life when it was time for Isaac to bless his boys? For instance, Rebekah wanted Isaac to get the blessing from her husband. Wanted Jacob to receive the blessing from her husband. So Rebekah works behind the scenes and she fools her husband. We don't see where Jacob was dishonest up to this point. Maybe he was, but we don't know. But we do know that he lived a pattern of dishonesty after this moment. But something miraculous happened inside of his life as he wrestled with an angel all night long until his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. You know, it pays to do your own study. There's something else about Jacob that I've preached for years that is not true. I heard it from a very trusted voice in my life, and I never thought to do the research myself, so I just took it for granted. But I've said for years, and you've heard me preach it, Jacob means supplanter or deceiver. That's not true. It does mean supplanter, but it does not mean deceiver. Does not mean deceiver. It does mean supplant or heel grabber or one who follows closely. You see, because remember, the Lord spoke to Rebekah and said, you got two nations warring inside of you, and the younger or the older is going to serve the younger. And the younger is going to be stronger than the elder. Esau was born first, but you know what? When they came out of the womb, Jacob had a hold of his brother's heel. trying to get ahead. He was following closely behind. Here's what I'm saying today, church. I believe God's looking for somebody who's ready to make up in their mind, I want to follow closely to the Lord. I don't want to just go through the routine of life any longer. I don't want to just go through the routine of just settling for status quo. There's a war happening. There's a struggle that some of you can identify with this morning, and some of you maybe can't identify with, but I'm preaching to those who can identify with what I'm talking about today. It's time to be a heel grabber. It's time to be one who follows closely to the Lord. It's time to make up in your mind, I don't want to walk a distance from God. I heard an old saying years ago, and I think it, and it has been a thought and a prayer of mine, an attitude of mine. Some men walk with men who walk with God, while other men walk with God. You can make up in your mind, either I can walk with men who walk with God, or either can I can say, you know what, I'm thankful that the influences God's put in my life, I'm a man blessed beyond measure with the influences the Lord has put in my life. But I'm going to tell you something, I don't want my relationship with God to simply be hinged off of their relationship with God. I don't want to just walk with men who walk with God. I want to walk with God in relationship. Let's stand today. I don't have a moving story to tell you for an altar call. I don't have a moving story to tell you that's going to cause you to weep or cry. I've just delivered a burden from my heart and from my spirit. That some will relate to. And again, there's a couple of different struggles. If you're not where you need to be with God, let's make that decision today. How long halt you between two opinions? How long halt you between two opinions? Come on, make up in your mind to serve God. Make up in your mind, I'm going to be saved. Whatever changes I've got to make in my life, God's going to help me, but I'm going to be saved. I'm not going to be lost. And then the struggle to those that are in this house who are simply identifying with what I'm talking about. You're a good person. You love God, but He's calling you to reach higher and to go deeper in your walk with Him. There's a struggle that's happening from within today. And today can start the journey of making sure you choose the right path and you let the right one win in your life. I'm asking you to come to the altar, those of you who will. I'm asking you to come and spend some time with Jesus and talk to the Lord today. Pour your heart out to Him. Let this be the first step on a new journey for your life that changes you forever from this moment on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can you hear Him calling you? Can you hear Him calling you? He's speaking your name right now. He's calling your name right now. Respond to Him. Yield yourself to Him right now. In Jesus' name, yield yourself to Him right now. Come on, surrender yourself to Him. Open your heart and your spirit up to God and say, Lord, I want more of You. I want less of me and more of You. I give myself away right now. I hear You calling, God, and I'm responding even now in the name of Jesus. Hope you've made up in your mind today. I'm starting a new journey in life. I'm not going to go the wrong direction. I'm going to go the right direction. I'm going to yield to what I know the Spirit of God is speaking to me about and calling me to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to lay some things aside, some distractions, and I'm going to seek God. I'm going to follow after Him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. In Jesus' name.